Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is the author of our book of the month for October, Reading Isaiah with Luther. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Learn how the conscience is a gift from God and how only through Christ can you receive a clean conscience in Reading Isaiah with Luther, the Issues Etc. book of the month, Reading Isaiah with Luther. As with many paths of conversion, a two-way street, but this one is not so much a two-way street. You do not hear very often about someone who has been raised Eastern Orthodox, leaving that profession, that practice, that tradition, and becoming Lutheran. You do hear about Lutherans becoming Eastern Orthodox far more frequently than that, but it does happen occasionally. It's our Issues Etc. Reformation Week theme of paths to Lutheranism. We're going to be talking about From Eastern Orthodoxy. Andrew Strickland joins us. He's principal of Green Bay Trinity Lutheran School and author of a column titled Taking Another Look at Gospel Freedom. Andrew, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Pastor Todd.
Andrew, you grew up Orthodox, but you happened to attend Lutheran schools. Why was that?
My parents were committed to Christian education. They were raised in the Roman Catholic Church. They attended Catholic schools. They got married at a Catholic university. And when they graduated, they quickly fled Catholicism and became Lutheran of the ALC variety. And my dad flirted with going to seminary to become a pastor, and that didn't occur, and he went on a different path in life as a social worker. And when my parents had me and then my brother, they knew they wanted to put us in Christian schools. And when we moved to Houston, Texas, the opportunity for Lutheran schools were available. Lutheran schools have a wonderful reputation of great education and also teaching the students about Jesus. And that's where my parents wanted us to be. And they committed that and sacrificed for us to attend those Lutheran schools.
Talk about what you were taught in Orthodoxy, what Orthodoxy said it meant to be a Christian.
The Orthodox Church it's a very rich life in the church. When I look back at those days as an Orthodox Christian, there's much to envy. It's a many-layered onion, much like the domes above the churches. The theology is embedded in the life of the church through the liturgy, through the mysteries, which the sacraments, the fasting, the flow of the church year, one can fully embrace the Christian life. And when I think back on my time as an Orthodox Christian, I don't specifically remember what I was taught in a formal catechetical way. I remember this is what we do, this is what you need to do to live the life of the Christian and to develop as a Christian and to become more holy.
What was the teaching of theosis in Orthodoxy?
In theosis, we can look back to something that St. Athanasius said, is the Word of God assumed humanity so that we might become lowercase gods, and which can be often misunderstood. In a way, we can think of it as living a sanctified life, like we should be doing as Christians. When a Christian feels the full weight of the law, not keeping the commandments, not doing what a Christian should be doing, in theosis, one way to achieve that communion with God is to do it through the sacraments, the mysteries of the church, grace being given in those sacraments, and working towards becoming holy. And along the way, it's almost as if you were acquiring more of the Holy Spirit and acquiring more of what God has already given to us. That was the teaching I was raised with.
What problems did the teaching of theosis present to you as an Orthodox believer, trying to live out that understanding of becoming divine or sharing in the divine nature?
For me, the biggest problem that I experienced with that is when you are constantly trying to achieve those things, for example, the Lenten fast as part of living the Orthodox life, the constant, oh, I messed up again today, or I didn't make it to church, or I didn't fast this morning, so I can't go to communion. Those kinds of events, for me, were very crushing. Never feeling like I could be good enough or holy enough to achieve the same manner of growth that I was noticing in my fellow Orthodox believers. And for me, that was pretty crushing, that experience of just not feeling like I could become holy enough, and felt like the gospel had been turned into a work for me, was very difficult.
You talk about holding a job in a warehouse, I believe, and being under attack from both unbelievers for being a Christian and fellow Christians. Describe that, if you would.
You know, college is a pivotal time in a person's life. There's new temptations, new things going around you. So I was working in a warehouse. I was attending classes as I was trying to figure out really what I wanted, what direction I wanted my life to go. And I was exposed to things that I hadn't been exposed to. And I was surrounded by unbelievers at work or in college who spent a lot of time trying to wear down my faith. They noticed I was a Christian, and the more I chose to be outspoken about it, the more they chose to try to tear me down. And then I was also working with Christians, or lapsed Christians maybe is a good word for it, who, you know, had chosen that they can pick and choose what they wanted to believe about Christianity and definitely not attend church. And that's another side of tearing you down as well. So it was a daily marking of who I was as a Christian in places where I didn't always feel like I was welcome. And to be constantly fed the lies that the world tells us about Christianity is a pretty tough thing when you're 18.
Andrew Strickland is our guest. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Our theme is Paths to Lutheranism, His Path from Eastern Orthodoxy. We'll continue our conversation with him in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. We'll find out how he was re-exposed to Lutheran theology. Then Dr. Chris Mitchell, author of a column for the Issues Etc. journal about his path from atheism, will continue Issues Etc. Reformation Week's theme, Paths to Lutheranism. Stay tuned.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
If you have a middle school-aged child or grandchild in the St. Louis Metro East, encourage them to attend an open house from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Sunday, November 4th at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. You can meet faculty, staff, administration, students, and parents. Learn more by calling 618-656-0043 or visit melhs.org. Open house, 1 to 3, Sunday afternoon, November 4th, at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, we are continuing Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Our theme is Paths to Lutheranism. We're hearing Andrew Strickland's story about his path from Eastern Orthodoxy to Lutheranism. Andrew, how were you re-exposed to Lutheran theology?
After a couple years of community college and working full-time, I attended Concordia St. Paul. And that first semester I was at Concordia St. Paul, I did not attend chapel. in that first semester, I did not take any theological classes. My goal was to become a teacher. But the nagging question in the back of my mind was, I had some really excellent Lutheran school teachers that had a big influence on me. So I started to think about, what would that look like for me as an Orthodox Christian to become a Christian day school teacher? The Orthodox Church doesn't really have a system of schools. I would have been happy to be that at that point. Maybe I could become an Orthodox school teacher, but they didn't really exist. So that first semester, I started seeing signs for a trip to the Holy Land led by Dr. Schuller, who was going to join an archaeological dig, and President Holst later would do a tour of the Holy Land. And that sounded really interesting to me, so I signed up to do it. And that started my re-exposure to Lutheranism. When we were in Israel, we attended Lutheran churches, and that started to have an impact. It started bringing back some memories of what I had learned back in school about the Lutheran Church and details about the small catechism, and learning about, just hearing more about the gospel in a more pure way was a big deal to me. And then when I returned, I started dating someone who would become my wife, and she was a lifelong Lutheran. I started attending some Lutheran classes as I started to explore becoming a Lutheran school teacher. And as more exposure, the more I knew this is the path I wanted to go on. So I started working to be confirmed in the Lutheran Church at that point.
What did you find in the Lutheran teaching that addressed the struggles that you had gone through while Orthodox?
I can remember sitting in a couple classes in college and reading the Book of Concord, especially reading about baptism, whether it's in the small catechism or in other places. It just hit me strongly about what the work God has done for us and not the merits that I had done. So that made a big impact on me. I can remember Dr. Trapp reading the entire Book of Romans in class to us. It took about a little over an hour to do that. And just sitting there listening to that and then him emphasizing certain points made a big deal for me.
Was the gospel absent from your Orthodox upbringing?
No, I don't believe that the gospel was absent. I believe that it was fully present, but I think from my memories, some of the gospel had been either covered by the things that we have to do or in some manner turned into a work, which for me was a very difficult thing.
What were the positives? You kind of hinted at this a little bit earlier, but what were the positives of Orthodoxy for you?
For me, you know, as an Orthodox Christian, trying to live a holy life is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We should have a rich life. The liturgical lifestyle in the Orthodox Church, as you follow the church here, even the fasts, can have a lot of meaning. Strong emphasis on the sacraments, on baptism and communion, and even confession were very good and important. Those are some really good positives that I can take away from Orthodoxy. And I can look back at my time as an Orthodox Christian, and that has really informed my life when I attend my Lutheran church.
You talk about the simple truths of the catechism making all the difference for you. What were those truths?
You know, one of those is just, what is baptism? What has been done for us? What has God done for us in our baptisms is a really big deal. It's amazing, being a Lutheran school teacher and now a principal, how much emphasis we get to put on that with our students and just celebrating their baptisms and being able to talk about that with them, even daily, just about what baptism has given to us. You know, in a lot of ways, it's incredibly complex, but it's also simple. You know, it's what God has done for us. You know, we can look at the question in the small catechism, what benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. And then we can go into Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's a simple truth in a lot of ways. But as you get more informed, it's like I see with these students at school, as they grow older, they dig deeper into it, and it's very rich at the same time.
What would you say to a fellow Lutheran, and this is not unusual, what would you say to a fellow Lutheran who's flirting with the idea of going from Lutheranism to Orthodoxy?
I guess I would want to know why. I want to know what is informing their decision. I've known, as a teenager, I knew quite a few former Lutherans who became Orthodox, even a couple of priests who used to be Lutheran pastors. I would really want to understand why. I don't know what I would say. I've thought about this quite a bit. I've encountered people on this road. I've even talked with a Lutheran pastor who was flirting with it. I don't know if there really is anything that can be said, except for to try to understand them and what they're coming from and what do they feel like is missing in Lutheranism to want to go towards Orthodoxy.
Then what would you say to someone who is Orthodox, who's undergoing the same struggles you did, this pressure to produce one's own personal holiness as a way of growing closer to God or participating in God's divine nature, and they're struggling as you did? What would you say to them?
That is one thing I've never encountered. I know two other people who were Orthodox who became Lutheran, and those two individuals, my brother had shared a similar trajectory as I did. He knew he wanted to become a pastor. A friend of mine married a Lutheran and became Lutheran in that way. I would really want to emphasize, you know, when someone's feeling the weight of the law and what's going on in their life, just to know what God through Jesus has done for us is really an important thing to share with those people who are struggling with their own sinful nature.
Andrew Strickland is principal of Green Bay Trinity Lutheran School, and he's author of a column titled Taking Another Look at Gospel Freedom. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Andrew, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin.
When we come back, Issues Etc. Reformation Week continues. On our theme, Paths to Lutheranism, Dr. Chris Mitchell will join us to talk about his path from atheism.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child, Jesus Christ, is the focus of every Christmas card that Emmanuel Press offers. Whether in stained glass, illumination, or classic works of art, Christmas cards from Emmanuel Press joyfully confess our Savior's birth with the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to create a custom assortment of cards. EmmanuelPress.us.